Welcome to the DMSG Healthcare Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Hadley, founder and CEO of the Denver Medical Study Group. Our organization was founded in November of 2008, and this year we're in our 15th year with over 1,250 members in 29 states, including Colorado. Our events include both DMSG podcasts and websites and in-person evening events. Thanks for listening to our Colorado and National Healthcare Leaders interviews on our podcast program. Today, I'm excited to visit with Jamie Smith, president of St. Joseph Hospital here in Denver, Colorado. Jamie, thank you for joining me today. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
You bet, Chris. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm a big fan of Denver Medical Study Group, as you know. So just briefly, I started my career in the Army. I was an active duty officer in the Medical Service Corps. I had the opportunity to serve for 2 years during my 4.5 year tenure at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C., which, as you know, is the flagship for the U.S. Army Medical Service. And that was an incredible opportunity for me to see what hospital operations was all about at a very early stage. And so I went on from there to go back to school and join Tenet Healthcare, which is a for-profit hospital chain across the country, and did stints with Tenet in the Southeast as associate administrator and vice president of operations, and then came to Colorado to join Centura Health. And I spent 8 years with Centura, most of that with Penrose St. Francis down in Colorado Springs as the COO and CAO. And then I took the job as president here in St. Joseph in late 2015, about 9 months after the organization had built this brand new hospital that I'm sitting in. So timing is everything. I was able to join SCL at that time and have been here since then.
That's fantastic. I understand you're a fly fisherman. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's my passion.
You primarily fish for trout?
Oh, only for trout.
Only for trout.
No, someone, I fish for bass too, but.
Do you? Someone was telling me that you have your grandfather's landing net on the wall behind you there. Is that what that is in the frame?
Yes, that's right. My dad is a woodworker, and he made this shadow box for me that includes my grandfather's rod and reel, and then his net, along with a fly box and an article that he was in. So it's a pretty special thing for me.
I'll bet it is. And I look forward to trading stories with you later on. You know, with the merger with Intermountain Health, it's been very interesting. What impact has the merger had on St. Joseph Hospital culture or SCL culture?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and we're still relatively early on in the merger. It happened in April of 2022, so we're less than a year in. So we're still kind of figuring that out. But I will say that from a values standpoint and a strategy standpoint, the organizations had a lot of similarities. And so that has helped us, I think, bring the two organizations together pretty successfully so far. You know, both organizations came to the table with a strong commitment to quality and a strong commitment to being patient-centered. Of course, we're both Mountain West region, you know, organizations, so that's helpful. And I think, again, prior to the merger, if you had asked leadership at both organizations, you would have seen a lot of similarities in their answers. So that's, I think, one thing to note. Of course, you know, SCL Health was a Catholic faith-based organization, has been since its founding. Intermountain is actually secular, even though they have a long heritage with the LDS Church in Utah. And they were founded by the Church of Latter-day Saints in the early 1900s. But then those assets were turned over to Intermountain Health in 1975 and became secular. So they've been secular for about 50 years. but we do share that strong faith-based heritage. I think in terms of culture, Chris, at St. Joe's in particular, you know, we are the original SCL facility in Colorado, founded in 1873. So we're celebrating our 150th year coming up in September, along with Coors, by the way. They're also celebrating their 150th year. That's great, great company to be in. But sure. we will maintain our Catholic identity, our Catholic practices and mission going forward. That will not change. And that was a very important part of the letter of intent when we got together. So that won't change. And we will live among the secular organization in that distinct way. So I wanted to make sure to call that out. But, you know, culturally, we're very strong. I have a lot of long-term and loyal people. And I think an extreme dedication to our mission, which is to really serve the entire community, but especially the poor and vulnerable. That is something we're very proud of. Being in an urban environment that we are, we're at a crossroads of a lot of different patient populations. And I think Intermountain and its strength is only going to help us to further that mission.
I'm sure that's right. I know that one of my advisory board members, Holly Church, is one of your executives there. And I've learned a lot about St. Joe's Hospital through her. And she has always spoken very highly of you. So it sounds like the culture that you've built since you came there in 2015 is working.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Holly is a wonderful asset to our organization. And as we mentioned before, she's being promoted. And one of the things that I think is neat about a merger like this is it provides a lot of opportunity for people. You know, it's a larger organization. There's more roles in the enterprise now for talented people. And we've seen a lot of folks, both from the legacy Intermountain side and the legacy SCL Health side, move up or change roles or do different things within this new company. And so that's exciting for people, I think.
Well, that's fantastic. Holly and I are also on another advisory board at the University of Denver. And that's when I found out that she went to the same undergraduate school I did, but about 35 years after I did. So, The impact of the merger with Intermountain Health, has that been significant here in Colorado, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, I think, as you know, the announcement created a lot of reaction. It's a big deal, I think, to bring two systems together in this region. Intermountain has a tremendous reputation and a tremendous capability with the fact that it has a health plan as part of its portfolio and has a lot of value-based reimbursement expertise that we think we can really benefit from here in Colorado. So I would say in the healthcare world, it created quite a splash, Chris. Now, that being said, the whole healthcare scene is so dynamic right now. And that's the case across the country. So I think this trend of consolidation or partnership or even strange bedfellows getting together is going to continue. And this is certainly a part of it. But, you know, Intermountain, other than the Western Slope, which does have some affinity to Utah, Intermountain wasn't a well-known brand in Colorado, and so it's truly new territory for them. Intermountain, as you probably know, has a dominant market share position in Utah and really doesn't have a lot of opportunity to grow there in many ways. And so Colorado and Montana, where we're strong, represents to them, or to us now, a huge opportunity to grow and expand in new markets. So I think, and then we've got some other, you know, nascent operations in Wyoming, Idaho and Nevada. So you look at that as a multi-state region, it starts to make a lot of sense, you know, as to how we can, you know, number one, I think create a brand does have a larger presence across those states. And that's definitely the intent. We're going to be rolling out a major marketing and branding campaign here soon to introduce the Intermountain name, you know, to this market. And I'll just say parenthetically, you probably know this, as many of your listeners do, that SCL Health really never had much name recognition. You know, it was a subsequent brand to Exempla, which was the original combination of Lutheran Medical Center and St. Joseph Hospital. Now, eons ago, it seems like. And Exempla had some pretty good market recognition. But then when SCL Health took over, it never really did gain. So I guess my point is, as wonderful as the sisters are and as wonderful as SCL is and was, from a brand standpoint, we're going to really benefit, I think, from Intermountain. It'll be easier to establish that in the market.
Well, that's going to be exciting to watch as you open those doors and share the impact of the merger. As the leader and president of St. Joseph Hospital, Jamie, how did you personally manage the stress of COVID the last 3 years?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Well, you know, like a lot of people, I probably didn't do everything perfectly well. I definitely gained some weight. So comfort food and eating, you know, might have been part of it. But, you know, what we did and I did personally is really tried to focus on the day-to-day, not get too worked up about trying to look too far ahead, because during that time, things were so fluid that you really couldn't plan. You really couldn't look ahead that much. And so one coping mechanism, I guess, was to make sure we're focusing on the here and now. The other thing that we did is celebrate the wins. And we did have some wins. You know, we did have some really great, whether it was a patient save or whether it was a story to celebrate, teamwork that we were doing well, just not to let the negative narrative dominate everything, because that was certainly something you could fall into. For me personally, I've got a wonderful family. I've got three young kids. And when I came home from work, when I got home from work, they weren't talking about COVID. They needed to be fed. They needed to have help with their homework. They wanted to tell me the story of the day. And for me, that was just so cathartic, you know, to be able to let work be in the background for a while and focus on those kids and my wife and what they were doing. Because again, a lot of what they did didn't entirely stop. So I would say that's one thing personally that I was lucky enough to, fortunate enough to have in my life at this time, because I think the one thing we all recognized with COVID, it was all consuming. And if you didn't have a way to get some other things on your brain, it could dominate all of your thoughts. And that's not a healthy thing for anybody.
You bet. You bet. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. How is St. Joseph Hospital dealing with the nursing shortage and other workforce shortages? A lot of dynamics going on there. What do you see as the future for a healthcare workforce?
Well, Chris, if I had that answer, I'd be sitting on a beach somewhere, you know, because I think as you've talked to a lot of leaders in healthcare, you'd probably hear a similar answer. I've never seen the situation that we're in right now. And I've been in healthcare now for close to 25 years. So if someone says they have a playbook, they're probably not telling you the truth, because it just is a totally unique situation. And then I'll go so far to talk about hospitals in particular, because we have I think more unique challenge in terms of workforce than some of the other elements of the healthcare industry. because we're subject to all the global trends, whether that's early retirement, people opting to work less, just the supply and demand of RNs that's out of whack. But in many ways, hospitals are the toughest place for people to work. It's a 24/7 operation. There's high acuity, high stress. There's nights and weekends. There's on-call responsibilities. You know, those things are relatively unique to hospitals because, you know, someone in a clinic or in an ambulatory surgery center or in an urgent care, there's a defined shift and there's a defined number of hours and so forth. And so we really, as the hospital industry, have to make sure that we can recruit and retain people into our world. And, you know, many people enjoy that environment. You know, they want that kind of place. But I think what we're suffering from is what I would call inter-industry competition. So if you're an OR nurse, for instance, as a skill, you've got so many opportunities to work in an outpatient day surgery setting, right? And again, have defined hours, have a daytime shift, and oftentimes earn very similar wages. And then, you know, whereas our ORs are, again, that very 24/7 difficult cases and high acuity patients. So we really have to figure out a way, number one, to change our staffing models, because we're not going to be able to employ the same number of RNs per patient, if you will, in the future. They're not available. But they're also harder to find the ones that are out there because, again, we're a tough place to work, and a tough place maybe to work for a long period of time. You know, we used to have a workforce that would be at a hospital or in hospital jobs for their entire career. And we're seeing a lot more people who maybe start at the hospital, but then they opt out to other career fields because there are so many things available. So again, to your original point, it's a really, really challenging question right now. Now, I will say that the innovation side is where we're going to succeed. We've got to use more technology. You know, there's more remote type of capability. You know, we've had physical sitters with patients, you know, one-on-one, and now we've gone to remote monitoring for those patients, which is tremendously more efficient. We are working with different care models. So rather than having a nurse as a 5-to-1 ratio, he or she might have 10 or 12 patients and then have some other caregivers to supplement them. And a lot of machinations of that. And then also being very flexible with schedules, really trying to meet people where they are. We've had a long run where a 12-hour shift was kind of the deal. For and that may not be the best thing for everybody. They may want 4-hour shifts or 6-hour shifts. So those things aren't rocket science, I guess, but they're things we haven't tried before. And I think this is the only way out of this situation is to really continue to innovate and be the most attractive place culturally too. That's one of the things I think I'm proud of for St. Joe's and SCL and now Intermountain is, the culture will win at the end of the day or be more competitive for workforce. And we've got to continue to work on that also.
You know, one of the things that I recall, I guess it was about a year ago, the issue of travel nurses has always been a challenge to the budget because of the cost and oftentimes the impact on quality of patient care. But I understand that y'all have developed an in-house travel nursing program. How has that worked?
Yes, we have. So Intermountain and it's regional, right? So Utah and then the former SCL pools are distinct from each other. But we have developed that to where we can pay a little bit less than a third party agency would charge, and also have the people be our own, to your point. So we know them, they're trained to our standards, and they feel a part of the family. So, you know, it's been a partial solution, Chris. But I wouldn't say that I want to see that long term, because the expense of it is still significant. The internal traveler cost is maybe 10 to 15% less than the external traveler cost, which is not nothing, but it's not enough to really want you to expand it. You know, you want to really get back to having your core staff cover about 90 to 95% of your work. We've always had traveler nurses. It's been a thing for a long time, but they've just been used in a sporadic and episodic way when you have a really high volume in the winter, or you have a sudden departure that you couldn't cover. They're really valuable for that. That's what we need to get back to, because having a perpetual layer of traveling labor, and it's not just nursing, you know, Chris, it's imaging, it's sterile processing, it's laboratory. I mean, lots of different specialties now we need travel. We're not going to be able to sustain if we're having to fill, say, 20, 25% of our shifts with travel contract labor.
Sure, sure. Big issue. And I thought it was pretty creative on your part to try the in-house approach to travel nursing. And yeah, I know that has tapered off quite a bit just in the last 6 months to 12 months. So that's good. How do you see hospital leaders positioning their organizations in the future? What's your vision of healthcare delivery and the role of hospitals?
Well, it's a great question. You know, hospitals are no longer the center of the universe when it comes to healthcare delivery. You know, there's been so much movement to the outpatient ambulatory space, which is great for patients. It's great for the cost to the system as well. If you can do something safely and efficiently outside the hospital, it's probably a good thing for lots of reasons. And so we're playing a smaller role, I think, overall. That being said, you know, the sickest patients, the traumas, the most acute situations, and frankly, those that can't pay, end up in the hospital, and we still play a valuable role. So, you know, my vision is really to make sure the hospital is valued. It sounds funny to say that, because we talk a lot about how much healthcare costs and how much hospital charges are, and we all know that's a problem. We've got to start to fix that. And Intermountain, by the way, is on the leading edge of the affordability movement, of the value movement in healthcare. And so I'm very happy to say that, because that's where we have to go. But at the same time, you know, you can't have all the resources we have, you know, all of the concentration of expensive workforce and technology and infrastructure without adequately paying for it in some way. And so I worry about the reimbursement model not supporting the hospital space and having places close and having communities lose those services. And maybe there will be some rationalization of how many beds there are around the state. And there probably needs to be some of that. But at the same time, we don't want to lose that safety net. And hospitals in many ways are that safety net.
Sure, sure. They are. You know, I could go on for an hour with you on this. A lot of good points to be addressed. But I have a final question for you. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today before we close?
Yeah, you know, Chris, I think we've talked a lot about the challenges, but I'd like to end on an optimistic note. Okay. I think with change and dynamism and challenge comes innovation and comes opportunity. And I think we're in that period of time where there's a lot of pressure to do things differently and to figure out. And I'm optimistic that we're going to come through this with really new types of care models, more interesting ways for people to get the care that they need, as opposed to, I got to go to the emergency room no matter what happens. That's an old model, and we just can't sustain that for lots of reasons. So I would say that despite, again, all the challenges that we face, and there are many, that at the same time, we're going to come out of this, I think, better, smarter, and you know, more efficient for sure. And hopefully, the real end goal would be that the patient's needs are better served in the future than they ever have been before. So I would say it's an exciting time to be in healthcare, even though, you know, like I said, there's a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. It's also one of those times that we're going to look back on and say, wow, things really changed back then.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not just change. It's the rate of change that occurs.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jamie. It's been a pleasure to visit with you, and we're excited to follow you as you do your announcement of the merger with Intermountain Health, and you're celebrating 150 years this September. It's going to be very exciting. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris, for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. And keep fishing.
All right.